Truly, God has blessed America. We begin to think about the miracles, the blessings, and all the things that He's done for us. Imagine, God has given us such a privilege to live in such a great country. And yet, even in this day and time, freedom is not cheap. And I dare say that there is a struggle in the country, because there's a struggle in the home, there's a struggle at job, there's a struggle in the government, there's a struggle, but yet, through that struggle, we become stronger. Matthew chapter 10, as we continue our study, and through the book of Matthew, we're going to begin to see a transition. In the first 9 chapters of the book of Matthew, all of a sudden we see where God was telling us how to live. He gives us the Sermon on the Mount. He gives us many integral parts. But once He establishes a firm foundation for us, He gives us a new glimpse of how to reach out and go beyond. It's kind of like yesterday. I don't know what y'all did, but I ate so much barbecue chicken, I started clucking. It was good for lunch. It was good for supper. And when we were sitting around at my brother's house, and we had 55 folks show up to eat that chicken. I mean, it was something else. But one of the highlights to me was there was one young lady that came from Pennsylvania, becoming a part of a family in West Point, and in just a few months, she's going to be going to Afghanistan. She's a veterinarian. And yet, you know, when you come together as a family, you remember, hey, look at what people are doing. Look at what the price that they pay. Look at what is reaching out. And yet, in that family setting, there was great love. And what she said to me was, she said, you know, when I go over there next year this time, I just remember back to this year. Special. Special. And so much that God wants to give us special thoughts in our minds. But He's also going to challenge us. Let's see, I'm going to take kind of a, this means yes and this means no. Okay, here we go. Here's one of those big questions. Do you like people to tell you what to do? Wow, I tell you what. It's almost universal in here. Y'all all think alike. That's good, because that was the tricky question. Okay, because what we're going to do, we're going to study something in here that's really, it's where I am in my journey. And all of a sudden, a verse of Scripture popped out in the text in which we're going to be looking at. It's really kind of intriguing to me. And I want you to see this, because as we look in Matthew chapter 10, what's going to happen is we're going to see this special power that's given to 12 men. He's going to call out their names. He's going to give them their mission. Then He's going to give a briefing of what is about to happen. And finally, He's going to give the objective. Now, we're not going to cover all that today. Go ahead and relax. Okay? But the objective in chapter 10, I want you to kind of read chapter 10 along the way so that you can capture the vision. And if you get bored this morning, start reading chapter 10 and just don't look up and say, well, the preacher told me to. Okay? So get familiar with chapter 10. Because inside of this, what we're going to realize is that there's going to be two great words that could literally change our country. Two great words. What could solve our economic problems? Hey, I really believe this with all my two words. And it's going to be a little bit familiar to you. If you said two words to the President of the United States, if you said two words to the Congress, if you said two words to your employer, if you said two words to your family, what two words could literally turn our country around? Good. All of these are correct. But the two words that really are attacking my heart in my journey is trust and obey. Trust and obey. Now, in order for those two words to begin to develop, though, you've got to see something. I could ask you another. Who trusts the government right now? Don't answer, okay? You know, where does the authority lie into the home? What's happening in the jobs of America? What's happening to many mainline denominations today? Where is the trust factor? Where is the obey factor? And we're still headed toward one special word. in order to trust and obey, there's one word coming. But before we do that, let me ask, since when has God changed His word to allow homosexuals, lesbians, to stand up in place of authority? As so I was told this last week in a mainline denomination. Since when has the word placed women in the place of pastors? Has God's word changed? Since when did God stop calling men to repent of their sins and get right with God? Since when did God change His word to allow many ways to heaven? Since when? I find no change in the word of God. So what we are having here, we are having a problem with one word. And this is the word that people don't like to talk about. Authority. Authority. Man, that's a challenging word. How many of us want to be told? Well, I one time heard about the school, and they said that the superintendent is afraid of the principal, and the principal is afraid of the parents, and the parents are afraid of the children, and the children aren't afraid of nobody. You know, sometimes it's kind of a little element of that chain of authority. Well, where does all of these things come together? I want you to see this in Matthew chapter 10 in verse 1. And when He called unto Him His 12 disciples, He gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sicknesses and all manner of diseases. Now, when you begin just to look at that face value, you would say, boy, that was something great that Jesus Christ did for the disciples. But now, wait a minute. What is He really? Can you see a little bit of some nectar in there, something that's real sweet that if you'll grab a hold of, all of a sudden, I'd really believe this verse right here can literally change your life. It can change the way you look at your job. It can change the way that you look at people. It can change your home. It can change your government. And then the T-O word will come into effect. Trust and obey. Well, there's no other way. And He gave them power. Okay? He gave them authority. Authority to do what? He gave them authority over the demons. He gave them authority over disease. He gave them authority over sicknesses. Wow. When you begin to come back and see, boy, He gave that. Where did it come from? Do we have any of that authority today? Well, let's talk about authority this morning, okay? I know it's one of those words, and nobody likes to be told what to do. But all of a sudden, if we'll come to grips with this, I can assure you, if you'll come to grip with this text, you can have a new peace in your life. Maybe I've never had it before. But if you're going to discover the peace that's going to be found at the understanding of this power that Jesus gave to disciples, you got to understand where it all comes from and how it all fits together. So let's look at the path, okay? Follow me with a path. And the path is that authority begins with God. Authority. God is the one in charge. We can all say amen to that. But wait a minute. What about Jesus? Did you know that Jesus came under the authority of God the Father? John 5:26 says, "For as the Father hath life in Himself, so hath He given to the Son to have life in Himself, and hath given Him authority to execute judgment also, because He is the Son of Man." Hey, did you see that? That authority. Where did it come from? It came from the Father. It came to Christ. Christ was under the authority of God the Father. Even so much in John 5:30, He says, "I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which hath sent me." All of a sudden, it makes sense. All of a sudden, we begin to see, wait a minute, God the Father has authority. He gave the authority to Jesus Christ. And then what did Jesus Christ do? Jesus Christ took these disciples, and under His authority, He said, "Look, you haven't asked Me of anything." John 16:23 says, "And in that day, you shall ask Me of nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in My name, He will give it." He will give it. Look at that. Asking the Father in the name of who? In the name of Jesus. And the name of Jesus means under Jesus, there's that element of authority. So all of a sudden, you're beginning to see this path that's flowing from God to Jesus, to the disciples. Even so much that when he came to that point, Jesus gave him disciples over the demons. Now, who did the demons have to respond to? They had to respond to the authority of Jesus Christ. That's what he said to them. Even the demons. So therefore, the demons have to respond to authority. Nobody can have any power except it come from God the Father. So even the demons have to respond. Now you may ask the question, are all people submissive to the authority of God? And the answer is no. But when God has given the disciples this authority, all of a sudden, even to the demons, they said, you got to leave. Well, let me give you some scriptures. Matthew chapter 10, 1, we read that. Matthew 28, 18, Jesus said, all power is given to me in heaven and earth. And then, listen to this. Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 through 19. Who is the image of invisible God, the firstborn of every creature? For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning of the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. Well, created, appointed, Christ Jesus. You see the path? What are you following this path? Not all authorities now are submissive to the Father. We understand that. But wait a minute. He gave his disciples. Could that demon say, no, I'm not coming out? No. Could that cancer say, I'm going to grow, I don't care what you say? No. Could that man stay blind after Christ had given the authority to the disciples? The answer is no. That man had to see. Because that authority came down from the Father. Now, there's some principles I want you to establish right here. The principles are this. To have authority, we must be under authority. If we're going to have authority, we've got to be under authority. Matthew chapter 8, verses 8 and 9 gives you that precise picture right there when there was a centurion who came to Jesus and said, Jesus, I've got a servant that's sick. Please come. Please heal this person. And Jesus said, I'll come. I'll heal him. And then the Roman centurion said, no, wait a minute. I'm a man under authority. I tell this soldier to do this. I tell this one to come and he comes. I tell this one to go and he goes. Jesus, you don't have to come into my house. All you have to do is just speak the word and it's done. Jesus said, I've not seen so great a faith. No, not all of Israel. And what happened? Jesus spoke the word. This servant who was away was healed. Jesus never entered the house. That's authority. But in order for this centurion to receive that, he had to understand the authority. Now, this begins to develop when we have to realize that we have authority, that we recognize that this authority is coming from God. Now, if you don't respond to the authority, is something going to happen? If your parents tell you to make up your bed, and you don't make up your bed, is something going to happen? What's going to happen? No, don't tell me. Okay, but anyhow, you are responding to authority. And look, if you make up the bed, is everybody happy? Sure. And if you don't make up the bed, is everybody happy? No. Okay, isn't it simple? All we have to do is to trust and obey. All we have to do is respond to the authority that's been delegated by God. We'll develop that more in a moment. But if a man rebels, 1 Samuel chapter 15, verses 22 through 23, it says, and Samuel said, hath the Lord as great a delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in the obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey better is to obey than to hearken the fat of rams. Here's the clincher, verse 23. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of God, he also rejected thee from being king. In other words, when a man, here's the issue, when a man rebels against authority, who is he really rebelling against? God. Now, when we understand authority comes in many faces, let's just look at the government. A man drives down the road. He's having a wonderful day. He's in a little bit of a hurry. And all of a sudden, the little blue lights come. And you have a welcoming committee, right? All right. So, and when a man rebels against the authority, what happens? He gets these nice little sheets of paper that says you have an appointment someplace to pay a fine, right? Well, that's rebelling against authority. And you know, sometimes we don't think nothing about that. But who gave the authority to the highway patrolman to write the ticket? We say the government. Who gave the authority to the government? God did. So therefore, when I get that ticket, excuse me, when somebody else gets that ticket, right? Okay, here we go. When somebody else gets that ticket, then who actually we rebelled against? Man, we don't like to think of it like that, do we? We think, man, I can pay that $150 and go on my way. That's not the case. When that little child rebels in the house, or when that employer tells you, okay, I want you to go out and I want you to do 1, 2, 3, okay? You got the time, you got the skills, you got the energy, you got the equipment, do all these things. And then all of a sudden the employee comes out and the employee just starts slacking off on the job and he doesn't do 1, 2, and 3. The employer told him to do it, right? Yes. What is he supposed to do? 1, 2, and 3. He had all the equipment, the time, the effort, but he just decided to slack off. Or he comes back and he's upset because he didn't do 1, 2, and 3, right? What happened? He rebelled against the authority of the employer. Well, I just slacked off. Now, wait a minute. Where did the employer get the authority? He is the delegated authority from God. And so, therefore, my response is not just to my employer, but my response is that I've been rebelling against the authority of God. Did I have peace when that was over with? No. If I had responded to my employer and done what he said, and everything was reasonable to be done, would I have responded and had peace? Yes. Authority. We all said just for a moment that, you know, we don't like people to tell us what to do. We have a struggle with that. I want to carry this one step further. Not two, three steps. Okay. I'm not through. Okay. Let me go ahead and clarify that. I'm not through. Step number three says this. There's a providential factor right here. All authority begins with God. And if you really believe that, then you'll pray the Lord's Prayer. What does the Lord's Prayer say? Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Who's in authority? God is. God, I'm praying every day that I will respond to you in your will and I will be under the delegated authority and lead us not into temptation. Deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory. Hey, it's all under him. So what happens is, hey, look, you're under the authority of God. Jesus was given all this power and authority. But I want you to see something. Turn with me. You may have never seen this before. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, okay? I'm going to give you time to get over there. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 24. This is something that I think, to me, it's just a tremendous, tremendous. All of this authority, who does it belong to? It began with God, it was given to Christ, and Christ passed it down and delegated to whom he so chose. But understanding here that all of a sudden not everybody's responding to the authority of God the Father. In 1 Corinthians 15, 24, the scripture says, then cometh the end when he shall have delivered up the kingdom of God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and authority and power, for he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet, and the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. And then the scripture goes on to teach us that when he has put all authority under his feet, that he is going to turn and offer that up to the Father. With all principalities, all powers that come under his submission, he's going to offer that up to God. Boy, that kind of blows my mind. That's not happening today. That's got to carry on into the millennium. And even at the end of the millennium, Christ is going to have all powers, all authorities under him. And then when all powers and all authorities are under him, he'll offer it up. And folks, we will understand and know what the word peace means. And all the powers, with Satan and all of his demons, all these things are brought under his authority. Now, let me real hastily, right here, we see that authority recognizes those who are in authority where it comes from. And we understand that if we're going to have authority, we must be under authority. And we understand that there's a providential element that all authority belongs to God and ultimately is going to be lifted up to God. But if we break or go against authority, there will be punishment. In other words, rebellion against God's authority brings judgment. And we read that in 1 Corinthians 15. 23, about rebellion being as the same of witchcraft. Now, here's what happens though if you take authority out of its place. One day there was this guy that had a demon in him. And this demon was so powerful and so strong that there was a man named Sebi. And Sebi came along and he had seven sons. And so Sebi and his seven sons came along to this man who was demon possessed, and they were going to have exorcism. And they were going to exorcise this demon out of his body. And so all of a sudden, they walk up to this guy that's demon-possessed here in this house, and he says, in the name of Jesus, in whom Paul speaks of, come out of this man. All of a sudden, this voice took over this man. And this voice says, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you? And all of a sudden, this man took hold of these seven men, and he beat them, he stripped them naked, and he sent them out. Why? Because they sought to claim authority that did not belong to them. And that, in essence, was rebellion. 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 David one day said to his commander-in-chief, go and number the children of Israel. And he said, why? Why number the children of Israel? I want to know. Satan had been whispering in his ear. Pride had been filling up. And all of a sudden, David rebelled against the will of the Father. And do it anyway, because I said to. The commander-in-chief did what he said. He went out and numbered the people. God got angry because of the rebellion of David. 70,000 men were killed by God because of the rebellion of David. Man after God's own heart. He rebelled. Moses is one of the greatest men that ever lived. More meek than any man that ever walked the earth. Moses got angry at a bunch of backslidden Baptists. Well, there wasn't Baptists, okay? But he got angry at a million backslidden people because they wasn't following. They were rebelling against God. God said to Moses, speak to the rock and water will come forth. Moses said, you bunch of stubborn folks. He didn't speak to the rock. He took his rod. He struck the rock. The water came out. But the rebellion caused him entering into Canaan's rebellion. God's man talked with God face to face. Rebelled in judgment. He was not allowed to enter into the promised land. Boy, in our day and time, turn with me, Romans chapter 13, verses 1 through 4. I'm reading a bunch of scriptures, but we're almost through here. Romans chapter 13, turn with me, because this, I'm telling you what I struggle with, okay? I'm just giving you what the Word says right here regarding authority this morning. In Romans chapter 13, verses 1 through 4, the Scripture says, I'll give you just a moment. This is important. It says, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. For there's no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God. And they that resist shall receive themselves damnation. The word damnation could be translated judgment. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid. For he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doth evil. I think that Paul is so plain. God brings forth governments to be placed in authority. And therefore, if we're going to understand peace, we're going to have to be good citizens. Is the government always right? No. Okay? But is it right for us to rebel against the government? No. Not unless it comes into conflict with the Word of God. Comes into conflict with the Word of God, that's a horse of a different color. That is an exception and not the rule. Therefore, we as Christians are to be under authority. Now, what does all that mean? Let's boil it down to this. Peace. Peace. Submission to God's authority brings peace. Hey, let's look at it like this. Women, don't y'all love that verse that says, submit to your husband? Isn't that the verse that you say, oh, my dearly husband, look what I read this morning. Did she read that to you this morning, Jim? Oh, she may have. Okay. All right, she may have forgot to read this verse to him this morning. But the Scripture says in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 21, it says, submitting yourselves, therefore, one another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husband as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be subject to their own husband in everything. Boy, honey, isn't that something? Don't you love that, man? I didn't even get an amen this morning. But look at that. But wait a minute. Where does that authority lie? The authority lies with God. The authority lies with Christ. The authority lies with the man being responsive under the authority of Christ. The authority lies with the wife being responsive unto the authority of the man. And it goes on in Ephesians 6, 1 through 3, it says, children, obey your parents, for this is right. The authority lies with God the Father to Christ, to the man, to the woman, to the children. The authority lies, and the Scripture says in Ephesians 6, 5, servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling and singleness of your heart, as unto Christ, not with thy servants, as men pleasers, but as servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good doing service as to the Lord, not to men. The authority lies from God the Father to Jesus the Son, to the man, to the woman, to the children, to the employer. And then as we read earlier out of the book of Romans, peace in the country when the citizen submits to the authority of the government. And finally, peace at church, when the members submit to the authority of the leadership. Now, here is a principle that I'm going to conclude with. Here's the issue. The key is not trying to do right and wrong. The key is to find who is in authority and to submit to their authority. Now, if you think about that, it'll free you up. Do I have to go to school trying to learn what's right and wrong? No, I don't have to go to school trying to learn what to do what is right and wrong. All I have to do is when I go into the classroom, under the authority of that teacher, just do what the teacher tells me to do. Hey, when you do what the teacher tells you to do, what happens? The teacher's happy. Your parents are happy. Everybody's happy, and there's peace, right? We don't have to try to determine what is right and wrong. All we have to do is to discern, God, who did you put in authority in this situation? There are many faces of authority. Every place you go, there's a face of authority. In the home, in the work, in the church, in the school, wherever you go. Who did God delegate in that situation? And how do I respond? Do I trust? And do I obey? I'll do those two things. I'm going to have peace. I'm going to have peace in the home. I'm going to have peace at work. I'm going to have peace with the government. I'm going to have peace at school. Why? Because when it's all said and done, who am I responding to? I'm responding to the authority of God. That's the reason why I can do 1, 2, and 3 without griping about it. Because I'm not doing it for my employer, I'm doing it for God. That's the reason why I can make up that bed for mom, and I don't have to gripe about it, because I'm making up that bed, in essence, for God. Every area of my life, if I carry it all the way to the end, my life is service to God. Does that make sense? It really helps. It really frees. It really frees. Then I know the question comes up, well, what about my parents? They don't always do right and wrong. You're absolutely right. Sometimes your parents don't do what's wrong. Okay? But what is our responsibility? Not determining what's right and wrong for my parents, but my responsibility is to show respect and authority to my parents. Boy, they got to stand up and respond to that. So let's just be free. Let's just be free. That's what he wants us to do. Let's understand this. Father, as we come together, let a new freedom, let a new freedom come across the congregation as people respond to your word and realizing that every face that we approach where you have sent those to be in authority, God, ultimately is to bring you honor and glory. Glory. Father, we love you. And what we talked about this morning, God, I struggle with it every day of my life. Help me, Lord. Help me to focus on the ultimate end and respond to bring you honor and glory. And may my life, Lord, be under submission to the Holy Spirit, and may I be filled with the Spirit control. May my life show forth the fruit of the Spirit. Because I'm responding to you, God, and to those to whom you placed, those to whom you delegate. God, help me, God, and help others in this group right here, in Jesus' name. Authority. Do you like people to tell you what to do? You can have peace. But the greatest peace begins by starting under the authority of Jesus Christ. That's where it all begins. Jesus said, I came to do the will of my Father, and the Father's will was this, that men might believe on the Son. But you begin in your journey today by believing on the Son, Jesus. And joining with his team, if you'd like to do that this morning, come, let's talk about it. We'll pray together. We'll pray together. And Christ will take you. Prayer altars are going to be open. And I encourage you to pray for our country. I encourage you to pray for other believers that are in this room. I encourage you to encourage one another. Because the fact about the matter is, we all struggle with this issue. And we need encouragement. Let's stand together and say, as people.